Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue. Are you?
Finally! Falkirk are returning to the Falkirk Stadium. God, how long has it been since that Dundee United game? But the Bairns are back in FK5 and ready to take on the buddies of St Mirren. And here we are, ready to talk about it. I am John McInally, and welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. And I'm joined, as ever, by the junior god of pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Well, actually, it's officially still good afternoon for a bit. And then
it's afternoon for a bit into the evening. You can see, if you're watching on the video version, I'm in currently in my workspace, nipped off in my lunch break to record this. So there we go. Ross, how are you?
All right, mate. As you said, it's been a hell of a long time since that Dundee United game. What's that, about 5 weeks, roughly? So, it's been
I think this, in terms of a season, this must be the longest we've gone without a home league game.
Yeah, absolutely. Apart from the usual sort of closed season and stuff, and then these international breaks are not ideal. Obviously, in the lower leagues and the Diddy leagues, you just played on regardless. But
exactly.
And the big boys leagues, I know it's Dunfermline were playing last week. That was nice for them. But in terms of ourselves, yeah, we've got all these breaks, so it's not ideal. But and then we've got another one next week.
I know, I just want to see football, you know, and like it just feels so. Like I say, I've not seen a league game at home because I've not seen a league game this season because I missed Livingston, I missed Aberdeen, missed Dundee United. So,
like, but you're back for this one, you're back
for this one. First league game of the season, as obviously St Mirren. We're going to be speaking to a guy called Ross Turnbull, season ticket holder at the Smyser Stadium. He's going to be giving us a lowdown in St Mirren just in a bit. But let's just get into some of the club news that we have gone on since our last recording. Ross, Owen Hayward has left the club to pursue a medical career. Good on Owen.
Good on him, yep. I believe his dad is a surgeon. So Owen is obviously following in his dad's footsteps, which is good to see. But listen, from what I saw of him, he looked a very competent young goalkeeper. I believe he is still going to be between the sticks at a certain... I don't know which club. I saw Cowdenbeath mention that he's leaving Cowdenbeath, but he's going to another Lowland League club. Maybe another... local team. I know Cowdenbeath's not the end of the world, probably just feels like it, but I think obviously we don't know where Owen's going to end up, but full-time career in medicine, I'm sure that's going to be a better paid job. And
I would think it probably is, you know, but he could have kept on part-time, obviously, like the good doctor Kenny Duker. It could have been the good doctor Owen Hayward if he'd kept on his football career. But I mean, good luck to him. He seems like a lovely young man. So, and like you say, probably getting it. If you've got the brains to get into the medical profession, there's probably a bit more money in it than being third choice keeper at Falkirk.
I would say so. And he will be able to do that thing, though, where he's like, if he's going to be a surgeon, like he'll be able to go, and if he's still going to be a keeper, he can tell his patients, oh, you're in safe hands here. And just forget the gloves.
Very true. Congratulations to Dylan Tay. He's been voted August Player of the Month. That's two in a row for Dylan now. Well deserved, Ross.
Massively well deserved. I think he's been phenomenal since
settled in the Premier League really, really well.
He has. He's not alone either, but I think he has been a very, very consistent player. I know that I saw a couple of people replying to the post saying, oh, he had a few moments last year. Well, that's last year. We're in the Premiership. He's played. He can only do what he's doing, which is playing against some of the best teams in the country. And he's started very, very well. So really chuffed for him. He's such a nice guy. Spoke to him at the Manicky towards the end of the season. Just after the end of the season. And comes across really, really great guy. Head screwed on as well. And I'm so chuffed that he started the way he has.
Any other contenders?
As I say, a few. I think Leo McCann was probably
I was going to say Leon. I was going to say Leon.
The votes from the league games so far as well. Kieran Adams has been a bit of a standout at points. Brad Spencer's been really consistent. Ross McKeever's done well in the games he's played. But for consistency and minutes, I can totally understand why Dylan's been given the nod.
Yeah. 100%, 100%. Aside from that, I think the Falkirk Golf Day happened the other day there, so it was, I'm sure we've got, everybody got plenty of gossip out there on the golf course playing with the players. You heard anything yourself?
Yeah, because that was last week, wasn't it? I believe the only person that wasn't there that was due to be there was John McGlynn, because it was deadline day at the Falkirk Stadium, so he was otherwise engaged from that perspective. I have spoke to a couple of people that were playing, just... Nothing out of the ordinary, just talking about, like, obviously it was so close to players coming in and talking about the deals that had happened. So yeah, just I think stuff like that, I always think, see, when you get a little bit of an insight into the squad or the staff as well, because bear in mind it's not just the players, as we talked about Gary Murray, who was guest pundit earlier in the season, he was there, and he didn't have a player with him, but he had the physio, which was even better because they got all the gossip from in terms of who's coming back and when. So I think stuff like that is that's why you pay that little bit extra money for if you can afford to do so and get along to these events, and it supports the academy as well, which is obviously a hot topic.
Yeah, talking of the events there, they've launched the Falkirk Events brand, which is going to support the academy, and that's going to include obviously the Heritage Seas events that have been happening at the Rockville Bar, speakers' nights, fan zone events, and the golf days as well. There's going to be more coming from that. Obviously, we've got the fan zone set up there, so looks like they'll utilise that a wee bit more and get some more money in for the academy. The other thing that happened this week is the board update, and our good board update. We talked about the communication. I think I've been a little bit critical in the past of the lengthy board updates, but this was quite well done. It's quite succinct, put into little segments. I quite enjoyed that.
It was really fascinating again. And I noticed there was a lot of, just before we talk about the content, I noticed there was a lot of football fans who were, and Celtic fans.
A lot of Celtic supporters, funnily enough, after that statement, nearly. And the board because obviously it's been planned to go out on Monday, it's been written, it's been planned to go out. And then you saw that statement the weekend, and a lot of Celtic supporters have retweeted it going, this is how you do a statement. You own up to some mistakes, you give communication, you let everyone know what's going on. So hats off to the media team. I expect Stuart maybe was behind that statement. So
I would suggest Stuart. Yes, I think it would have been written by Stuart Adam and obviously approved by the rest of the board as well. But as you said, Jordan, in terms of the content, really, really thorough update, not just on the playing side, but off the pitch as well. That followed up the Club Zone podcast that went out towards the end of last week, which Scott Henderson, from Crunchy Carrots, and Sean and Jamie were on. Really, again, a really good update around all things commercial, what's available, what's working well, what they're working on. I saw Sean mention, I think it was maybe mentioned in the board date update as well, they're going to go, if they can, really very digital in the stadium, loads of TV screens everywhere and big screen in the stadium as well, which is... always going to be kind of cool. So yeah, just a really brilliant update. The East Stand was talked about too, so obviously they can't go into too much detail about it, but just that the plans are there. They're looking for an investor or investors to help push that along. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. Good. Before we get into Bertie Connor, shout out to Stevie Gibson, friend of the podcast. He's been on this before. He coaches the Falkirk Football Fans and Train Women's Development Team. And it's champions again. Ole, ole. They won the Scottish Women's Recreational League. So well done to Stevie and all the girls. And well done to obviously the Falkirk women as well. Still smashing it.
Undefeated. I know. Yeah, Stevie does keep us updated of the development team and sends us on some pictures, and we will definitely use the group photo as part of our socials this week as well. So, no, was that amazing? Yeah, Stevie's such a lovely guy as well. Well-known Falkirk fan. And as you said too, in terms of the senior women's team, just absolutely flying. They didn't have a game at the weekend, just with it being the international weekend, but I know they have some big games coming up this month as well.
We'll keep you informed of that on the podcast and on our socials. Follow us at Falkirk Daft on Twitter or Instagram. You'll get all the details there if you don't follow the Falkirk Women already. Listen, birthday corner, quick dive into that. Not many birthdays this week, Ross, but we do have one.
Loads last week and hardly any this week.
We said this was the Christmas, it's Christmas time, babies. This is the Christmas shags coming out. Yeah, we've got one this week.
And on that note, happy 16th birthday to Jessica Wayne.
Happy 16th to Ross's daughter, Jessica.
Yeah, the telly must have been broke 16 years ago. 16 years, 9 months ago. Happy birthday to my eldest daughter, Jess. She's not the biggest of Falkirk fans now. However, I did say I was going to embarrass her on the podcast. So there
I do hope none of our schoolmates or anyone that has listened to this podcast equips that up for Jessica. Nothing more embarrassing to a 16-year-old than her dad saying, "I got it on with your ma on Christmas." Also, happy birthday to Flynn McDonald. He'll be 6 on the 17th of September. Don't listen to that last bit, Flynn. Lots of love from Dad, Stuart, Uncle Heath, Grandma, and Evie. And also, an extra mention to his little sister, Holly, who'll be attending her first ever Falkirk game on Saturday. Amazing.
Oh, amazing. I love it.
Brilliant. What an experience. Hopefully she'll be a lucky mascot and hope it's the first of many. Have a great day from all the family, and I'm sure our original Falkirk Dafty grandpa will be watching on above with a big smile. Love to hear it. Love Absolutely. To see it. Brilliant. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. So that's what's happening in birthday corner. In terms of birthdays, we're recording just now on the 9th, and you know who's two big birthdays today, Ross? Two massive birthdays for Falkirk players. One, and I can't believe they share a birthday, Pedro Moutinho is 46 today. We're recording this on the Tuesday. There you go. And he shares his birthday with none other than his gaffer, Yogi Hughes. So 61. Ah, happy birthday to both Pedro and Yogi. Brilliant.
Love it. No, we spoke to Yogi recently at Falkirk Daft Live, who was so, so funny. So, and hopefully he's going to come along to the Hibs game in a couple of weeks' time. That would be amazing to see him back at Falkirk Stadium. But no, I didn't know about Pedro. So 46, Christ, I feel old, even just Pedro being 46, to be honest.
I know. On the 10th, it's Neil Ingles, former goalkeeper. I think he was the second choice goalkeeper for a long time at Falkirk Stadium.
Yes, sorry. Is that Neil Ingles who was also, where else was he? Was
Rangers.
Was it Rangers? Sorry, yeah.
I think we got him from Rangers, actually. He ended up at us, and he was second choice, I think, Tony Parks for a long time.
Right.
Lots of birthdays on the 11th of ex-Bairns. Wayne Foster, remember Wayne Foster?
Striker,
62. Kean McInnesby, who I think, you know, you probably know him best for that season, Local View season, he's 46. Kevin McCann?
Don't recognise that name. Should
I? I think he only played a handful of games. Dale Fulton, obviously one of the lesser Fulton boys.
Yeah, the lesser Fulton brother. Yeah,
there was three Fulton brothers. I think they were all on the cards at Falkirk at one point.
Yes, they were.
Dale ended up still in Albion. We retired from the game in about 2015. Mm-hmm. Jay's obviously still playing. And I can't remember the name of the third Fulton boy.
I think the third one was a goalkeeper, wasn't he?
Was he? I think maybe he was. I think you're right.
Oh, Tyler.
There you go. Nailed it. You know, we should get Stevie Fulton on for a Falkirk Daft Live.
He would be amazing. He would be brilliant. He would.
Absolutely. We should note that one down. And Tommy Robson, who's still kicking a ball as well in Scotland. Tommy Robson turns 30.
He's Queen's Park still, isn't he?
I don't know if he is now. I think he moved clubs. I think he was at Clyde the last time I checked.
Oh, no, I think you're right. Sorry, beg your pardon. I think you're right. Yeah. I think he has.
And one and only on the day of the St Mirren game, turning 32, Will Vokes is 32 on Saturday.
Still love to see Will back at Falkirk. Could it happen full circle? You never know.
I don't know if we could afford Will now. But if you want to check our interview out with Will, we've got that on our podcast feed and also YouTube as well. So check that out. Our full interview with Will Vokes, which we did about a year and a half ago now. Jesus. Seems a long time ago. But listen, that's all the birdies. A happy birthday to all the Bairns out there, even if you haven't put it forward to Birthday Corner. And let's now thank our sponsors, Behind the Wall, Stay Local, Eat and Drink Global. Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale. And of course, they have Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales, and great value food and great service as well. Always brilliant and Behind the Wall. Did you come back with your favourite Bondi song this week? Your homework was favourite punk song, favourite Bondi song. You've not done your homework, have you?
Done my homework, no. Sorry.
Punishment exercise. Back to detention.
Yellow sheet.
After the podcast, that's for sure. So Sunday Girl, the Bondi tribute are in there this Friday, if you're listening to this before 12th of September. And the punk night is happening this Saturday. So after the St Mirren game, get yourself up for the Class of 79 up behind the wall. Get that mohawk out. Get that pin. Get that denim jacket, cut-off denim jacket on the go. The ripped jeans. And I'm sure you'll see a couple of Bairns well-kent faces up there. I'm looking at the Steel Brothers. I'm pretty sure they're going to be there for that. So that's the punk night happening behind the wall upstairs on Saturday. And if any more events, you want to see what's going on at Behind the Wall, check out behindthewall.co.uk. Right, let's get into the St Mirren game. It is happening on Saturday. As I say, first game in 5 weeks back at the stadium. I want to speak to a St Mirren supporter. As a guy who is St Mirren daft, I work beside him in radio. This man is Ross Turnbull.
How are we all?
Yeah, Ross, how you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thanks for coming on. See, he works in radio. He's got a lovely sounding mic there. So that's what we like to hear. Because sometimes people come on, Ross, they've got terrible mics. But I knew you would come in with the goods.
Yeah, you've got to be prepared, haven't you?
Absolutely. So it's been such a long time since we played St Mirren. Do you know, right, Ross, Wayne, when was the last time we played them and what was the score? Pack in front of you.
Yeah. Is it in the league we're talking though?
Yeah.
Oh. 2015, 2016, something like that?
No, 2018. Alex Smith's last game at Falkirk. That was his retirement game. We beat them 1-0 in the last game of the season. Ryan Blair scored. Remember, we sold them to Swansea like we did all our players and we got them back on loan.
I do remember
Ryan Blair's doing themselves these days.
I punched that result from my memory.
I bet you did. Looking down the head-to-head, I mean, it's surprisingly, and I grabbed this off Footy Stats, in the last 12 matches, Falkirk have won 7 and St Mirren have only won 1.
Yeah, we've been in a bit of a draw slump. Obviously, first game of the season, we lost to Celtic. But apart from that, it's been draws and draws and draws.
That's just the head-to-head against Falkirk, you know, and I'm really surprised to see that, Ross Wayne, because I always thought we struggled against St Mirren.
In the most recent campaigns, I would have thought we would have done, but that kind of shocks me as well, because that sort of 2015, 2016 period, we shared the championship with them before we both went our merry ways. St Mirren went up the way and, well, we'll not talk where we went, but that stat does surprise me actually. However, as Ross just said the other now, it's the two clubs probably are not too far away from each other on the pitch, but off it the last few years, St Mirren have been kind of rocking on in the Premiership, and I think we have to try and look to them to see if that is what we can hopefully achieve in the next couple of years.
You know, it's two clubs very sort of similar in sizes, Ross. As a St Mirren supporter, you know, what do you put down the success? I mean, that's 3 top 6 finishes. You got into Europe. I mean, how has it been, Stephen Robinson? Has it been the build from Jim Goodwin? How do you assess St Mirren in the last few years since returning to the Premiership?
I think it's definitely been a combination of things. Stephen Robson come in, he steadied the ship. He has a style of play. He knows the kind of players he wants. But I think the big thing that has kind of transformed the club especially is going fan ownership. The Smyza group taking control of the club, having a say, knowing exactly where the money's been spent, what's happening with the academy, what's happening with the young players. That has laid the foundations for everything, as you're saying, Europe, top 6, hopefully a Scottish Cup run. That's kind of where things have been the last couple of years especially.
Interesting that, because obviously we've been on a different starting point, but we've obviously on that journey now as well, Ross. We're three, near, sorry, is this the fourth season in with our fan ownership? And As you've said, it's sort of coincided with our best sort of run of on field performance for 10-15 years. So that bodes well for us too, hopefully, in that regards. Because we are, as you said, John, we are very similar in terms of structure, crowd numbers. And I listened to the club's podcast last week, and I think Jamie talked about how we met up with, sorry, Ross, what is he? Is it Keith Lasley who used to be there?
Yeah, Keith Lasley.
So he talked, I think he Jamie went and met Keith in March time this year, and they talked about sort of where they were off the field, sort of like what I assume it was a bit of an information gathering piece, like what do you charge for this, what do you do here, how much does this cost you? So, and Jamie said both clubs actually, even when we were in the Championship, we weren't too far away from where St Mirren were, so very strong similarities with it. I just, as we said and joked a little bit, I hope we can kind of on the field replicate almost where you guys have been as well.
Yeah, definitely think the bringing in Keith Lasley, who's kind of learned how to be a CEO under Alan Burrows, who's now at Aberdeen, has really kind of improved the club on and taken us to that kind of like next level in terms of just like overall commercialization and just building the product up.
Yeah, I mean, it is like you say, it's St Mirren of the club that you want to emulate, but certainly what they've done. I mean, Ross, it does seem, obviously, you've had Jim Goodwin and Stephen Robinson came in. It does seem like Land of the Giants, and that's how Robinson sets up his team. Certainly off the park, it's all going well financially, but on the park is where the real difference seems to be, and it does seem that, you know, looking down at St Mirren's squad, it's just a big squad, and you picked from... You know, it seems to be all over, you know, using the markets out with the Scotland.
Yep. So I think, I mean, as with any Stephen Robinson side, he sets his team up to be hard to break down. So I know we play the three at the back, but the two can drop, be that be Declan John or Jaden Richardson. And it is almost like a five low block, break us down if we're under pressure. And then we can also switch to being counter-pressing, attacking, getting the ball up the park. And as you're saying, we're kind of utilising the market in a very shrewd way. We're taking boys from, well, for example, that boy we bought in from Bolton, Dylan Nudlu, I don't know if I pronounced that right. He brought him on deadline day. And it's just that kind of like lower, kind of upper League One, lower, like League Two sort of clubs, taking players that have potential, bringing them in and hopefully selling them on for a profit. That's got to be the model for a lot of clubs, especially in Scotland.
I noticed that with the nationalities when I had a look at the squad as well. So you've obviously, weirdly, a couple of Jamaican. Someone from Cyprus, a Kenyan, a French chap there, Ireland, Wales. So yeah, you're all over that. So that does show that the scouting network is working, Ross.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think a lot of people pigeonhole Stephen Robinson's team to be a lot of League of Ireland players who have came over, but that's, as you're saying, far from the truth. You've got a couple of boys who are making Jamaica internationals under Steve McLaren, Kenyans, French. Yeah, it's just the whole kind of squads. I think for Robinson, I think the main thing is just building a squad of players that he can trust. If he puts them out in the park, they're going to do a job for him. I think that's kind of what he's looking at.
Steve McLaren, Jamaica manager.
Yeah, yes, yeah, the Wally with the
Brawley. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what you put on a Jamaica that you said when he did the interview?
No, I was just about to say.
Someone did over a Jamaican accent over Steve McLaren, which was rather amusing. I mean, looking down your squad list, Ross, I think Shamal George, we all see him at Livingston, very, very good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, other players that, you know, when you're looking down at some, I think Alex Gogic always seems impressive, whether he's in that set in like midfield or playing centre half. Mark O'Hara, I'm very surprised he's still at St Mirren because I think he's a really good midfielder, and I'm surprised like a Hibs or a Hearts haven't taken him.
Yeah, that's a strange one. Just going back to Gogic though, like when Robinson first pulled him out of that kind of like deep lying midfielder role into centre half, I was thinking, oh no, here we go, because he does have a bit of a rash head on him, but he's also very good at getting his body on the line. So there is that kind of like trade off of he might pick up a yellow card, he might get the odd red card, but he will at least stop a goal every single game. Mark O'Hara is another one. I mean, it's one of those ones that, do you stay and become a club legend, or do you, as you're saying, go for the money and go to Hearts, Hibs, possibly in Aberdeen, even further afield if you go down south? And I think that's maybe where he's kind of weighing up at the moment, because I think with him, as much as I wouldn't want to lose him, never would want to lose a player like that of his stature, I think it's probably reached that pinnacle of he's taken us as far as he could go. He's captained us to Europe. I think the only thing that he could do that would top that would captain us to a cup. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and then up front, I mean, like I say, it tends to be land of the Giants, especially when you've got Giants with a bit of pace. Ayunga has been really impressive, and as has obviously Mikko Mandron as well, who are two players that I think will cause troubles come Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's... Ayunga's one of those ones that, unfortunately, is a little bit inconsistent for me. His performance against Rangers was outstanding. He was running yeah. the line. He was giving John Souter an absolute horrid time. But it'll be games like Saturday where he just won't show up and he'll be a bit kind of like a little bit lost at sea. Well, exactly, yeah. But Mandron as well, you know what you're getting with Mandron. It's a big target man. You lump it forward when you're under pressure just to get out of the press, and he holds it up really well.
Yeah. It is really. I don't know if you've seen much of them, Ross Wayne, but yeah, they do look, I mean, like you say, Landon, Killian Phillips, Ross Tumble.
Whoever signed him, get him a statue.
Yeah, is he going to be fit for the weekend?
I don't know. I think it's touch and go, in truth.
Right.
I've not actually seen too much. I mean, it'll probably come out when the managers do their pressers on match day minus one. But yeah, I think Killian Phillips, hopefully, fingers crossed, should be good. If he is in the squad, I would worry because he makes us tick.
Yeah, I have seen him, been really, really impressed by him. Ross Wayne, obviously, we play our 4-3-3. We're going up against... traditionally, St Mirren will play a 3-5-2. Ross Turnbull, is that right?
Yeah, 3-5-2, yeah.
Yeah, how do you think we'll cope with that, Ross?
I think we'll cope better now that we've got a bit of a grip on the midfield. The Aberdeen game showed that. Now, granted, Aberdeen are probably not on fire on all cylinders. However, we won that midfield battle, and I was really chuffed with how we set up. So, obviously, we've got our Brad Spitzer, Dylan Tate, and... Henry Cart right now. So that midfield really is working, and I think they will have to work even harder probably on Saturday, because I think what I have seen of St Mirren on sports scene, etc., they do love to win a midfield battle. Like, that is where they, and the turnover, getting the two boys up front in and behind. So it's going to be a tough gig, but listen, if we're on our A game, we're at home, we should be looking to try and pick up 3 points. Every team that plays at home this year are probably thinking the same. Yeah, it's where your best chance of collecting as much points as we can, but for us, it's even more probably important than some of the other teams. So, yeah, win the midfield battle, keep it tight at the back, and just like Aberdeen, when we get a chance, we need to take it.
Absolutely. What do you think? How do you think you line up then, Ross?
Yep, so I think, obviously, injuries barring. I think we'll start with Shamal, George and goal. A back three of Fraser, Gogic and Freckleton. We'll then have Richardson and John as the wing-backs. We'll have Phillips, Backus and O'Hara in the middle of the park. And I think he will go the two up top, Ayunga and Mandron, as you mentioned. Obviously, if there's a bit of a risk with Phillips, then it could be a different scenario. But as Ross was saying, like, it will be a battle of the midfield. Backus against Spencer is one kind of tussle that I think is going to be quite a highlight come Saturday afternoon.
Ross, we've obviously, you know, we've had a lot of injuries this season, but we've obviously brought in a lot of people on loan. How do you think Falkirk line up, barring the injuries?
Wrong Ross.
Well, the other Ross I'm going for. You don't know how Falkirk will line up.
I think I've got a rough idea.
We'll give you a dig at it first.
Yeah, I think from the team that played Aberdeen, I think the goalkeeper, I think it's still be Scott Bain, I think will start in goals.
Yeah, it seems that he's come through. It wasn't a broken thumb, obviously, and we think
he's just kind of bruised it. I don't see any changes in the defence, if I'm being honest. If we do, then will it be the left centre half change? Because obviously we've had.
I think Hart might come in for Nielsen.
Well, that would potentially be my only thinking is the change there. I think Keelan Adams' spot's nailed on. I think Hendo's more than nailed on. And Leo McCann, I don't see has done anything wrong. Obviously, we have just signed, as you said, a potential left-back there. But I don't think Leo and McCann will be moved on. Middle of the park speaks for itself. As I said, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate and Henry Cartwright.
Do you think Henry Cartwright starts in that deeper position and that the Tate still starts in the 10?
I think we need to protect ourselves, and I don't imagine John, assuming it continues to do what it has been doing, I don't see John changing it too much.
Right, so do you think Arfield drops out then? Because I'm assuming you're going to put, well, we don't know Wilson if he's going to make it or not, but presumably Williams goes in at left wing.
I think Williams will go in at left wing. I wouldn't be massively shocked if Arfield ended up in the 10. I know there's obviously other options there.
So then does Cartwright, does Dylan Tate drop out?
It's a tough call. I personally would keep Dylan Tate in. He has been man of the...
Does Arfield drop to the bench?
Yeah. Well, that's it. There's only 11 spots. So it's
only 11 spots, Ross. You can't have them all.
We can try. We can try. But no, I do think Ethan Williams will make his debut at left wing. The right wing is up for grabs because obviously Calvin's not done a lot wrong. But then Kyrell Wilson came in and scored in his debut against Aberdeen.
Just an injury day. You know, we didn't mention the closed door game against Queen's Park, where Kyrell Wilson apparently limped off in that game.
Yeah, so we've not had an update. So as Ross said, the pre-match press conference that John McGlynn will give on Thursday afternoon or Friday, I think it is, will be all telling. If he has went down to Swansea or back down to Swansea for some treatment, that maybe suggests that we're not going to see him for a couple of weeks. But as I said, Calvin Miller has been, like, had we not signed a right winger, I think we'd all be quite comfortable with Calvin Miller playing.
Yeah.
And I don't see Ross McKeever losing his starting spot to...
Or Brian.
No.
Yeah, no, I think Ross has started off the season really, really well. So, yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I'll be interested to see what happens in that 10. I think that's the big question mark. Because I do think Williams will start. He apparently scored an absolute peller against Queen's Park in that closed doors game. I'll get all the details from Jim Duffy, who's doing Super Scoreboard tomorrow night. So he's in doing Scoreboard. So I'll get all the details in that closed doors behind from Jim tomorrow night, because he was obviously there as assistant manager. But yeah, Ethan Williams, I think, will be a shoo-in. I mean, you don't bring someone in from Man United and they don't start, you know what I mean? So I'll be interested to see the 4-3-3 against the 3-5-2. I'm really interested in that tactical battle, how it works out. Ross Turnbull, what do you think the score's going to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, given our recent run, a safe bet would be a draw. but I think possibly, I'm going to say 2-1, Ayunga and Phillips and Calvin Miller will score for yous.
Oh, there you go. Give him scores as well. Ross, Wayne.
I'm going to share the scoreline, but I think it'll be 2-1 Falkirk. If I'm pushed on scorers, I think Ethan Williams will score on his proper home debut. And I'll say Scott Arfield as well at some point.
Okay.
What's your prediction?
2-0. I won't give you my scorers. I won't give him the scores, but I do think Big Ross is due a goal. So yeah, I quite fancy a 2-0. Ross, the big question for you is, you're at a wedding, so I'm missing the game. Will you have your mobile phone in while the ceremony's going? That is the big question.
So the good news is, I've already checked.
And will your wife put your balls if you do?
I've checked. The ceremony's 2 till 2:45.
Right, okay.
It's then drinks and pictures until 5 o'clock.
Smashing. Excellent. We're all good. We're all good.
Yeah, we're fine. However, Falkirk TV will be getting watched. Yes.
However, you are at a wedding full of Dunfermline supporters, so...
Yes, someone will end up turning the Wi-Fi off just to annoy me.
Sorry, they'll be watching our championship game, I'm sure, as well. Brilliant. Ross Turnbull, thank you so much for coming on, Falkirk. But before you go, I didn't tell you about this bit, Ross. We are going to play our new game on Falkirk Daft. How well do you know your side?
Oh, go on, right. Then.
It works like the 5K minute. I've got 10 questions about St Mirren, Ross. And yep. All you have to do... answer all 10. If you pass any, we'll come back to anyone you pass. You see how this game works.
Yeah.
And you've got to beat Aberdeen, who are top of the tree at the moment. 8 points. Sheepy got that. Livingston are in second with 6 points. Stuart Barry got that. Chippy, representing Celtic, only managed 4 points. And then Dundee United are bottom of the table with 3 points.
Okay, as long as I'm not bottom, I'll be happy with that.
Right, okay, okay. Right, we're going to put 60 seconds on a timer. Ross is going to time you out, and I've got the questions here. Are you ready, Ross Turnbull?
Yes, let's go.
Here we go. In what year did St Mirren move from Love Street to the new stadium?
2009.
In which decade did St Mirren first compete in Europe?
1940s.
Which player did St Mirren receive their record transfer fee for?
John McGinn.
Who was the manager during St Mirren's 2013 League Cup triumph?
Danny Lennon.
Which player holds the most appearances for St Mirren?
Billy Abercrombie.
Name any of the front of shirt sponsors when Joma were kit makers.
Skyview.
How many black stripes are at the top of the St Mirren badge?
Three. That's bad.
Who's the side's current vice captain?
Marcus Fraser.
Where is Peter Uminski currently on loan?
Arbroath.
Who was appointed manager after Alan Stubbs?
Oran Kearney.
And you didn't pass any, and that is
time.
Bye.
Yep.
Time. Oh, that's all right. I'll take that.
Aye, right. I'll go through the answers that you got wrong. 2009, you absolutely nailed. It was the 1980s. First in European competition after you won the cup. Ian Ferguson went for 800,000 to Rangers.
Well, if you're talking like percentage fees. John McGinn's
not having that. Which player holds the most appearances for St Mirren? It's Hugh Murray. You've got Skyview Capital, or you could have had Digby Brown as well. Black stripes at the top of the badge.
That's a shocker.
You're not a badge kisser, Turnbull.
Nah, clearly not.
Five black stripes at the top of the van. You've got Marcus Fraser. Size company vice captain Marcus Fraser. Peter Uminski's actually on loan at Glentoran.
Yep,
that's fair. According to Wikipedia. I've not done
that.
And Owen Kearney, you got right. So that is five, which puts you third in the table behind
Lawrence. That's all right. Didn't disgrace myself apart from the badge question.
Yeah, I did. Terrible. Shocking, shocking. Listen, Ross Turnbull, we always say best of luck. We don't really mean it.
No,
but thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. We will see you Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. And you'll get some abusive text messages Saturday afternoon.
You bet I'll be your number blocked. No more shifts for you, Ross Turnbull. If you come at the chief here, no more shifts, right?
Exactly.
Right, Ross, don't let HR see this video.
No.
Right, okay. Thanks for coming on Folk at That, Ross.
Cheers, guys.
That's us, Ross. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, pal. Right, see you tomorrow.
Yep. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit. Bye, bye, bye.
How'd that leave? How'd I leave, John?
Radio producer, bloody hell.
Ah, no, Christ.
Look at more. Go to it. There you go.
Oh.
Yep. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit. And you're still there, Ross, so I'll just remove you. There you go. Remove.
There it is.
Let's just finish it up. So there you go, Ross. That is St Mirren dealt with. It's going to be interesting to see how we get on Saturday. This is the first for me. Dundee United had that kind of, you know, the buzz, flag day, all that sort of stuff. Aberdeen was a shock and a surprise to all of us, I think. Livingston could have done better on the homework. This at home is the games that we need to be winning, though. This weekend is a game we need to be winning to set our stall if we are going to be battling down at the bottom or then kind of try to scrape into the top six. This is the games we need to be winning.
It's a home game, firstly, and we need to win our home games to do what we want to do. I've been kind of humming and hawing whether St Mirren fall under the bread and butter bracket, but they probably do at home, and that's not me being disrespectful.
Like we said there, it's a cupboard. If we have aspirations of being like St Mirren,
yep,
these are the clubs that we need to be beating at home. Yeah,
totally.
Because you look around and you go, wait, when you get Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, you know, Rangers, Celtic at home, you know, it's like, okay, if we get a point, this is all right. Yeah, but when you start looking, St Mirren, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Dundee, totally. You start Livingston.
Totally I totally agree. So it's a huge, they're all huge games. Every game's big. We said this a couple of weeks ago as well. There's no small game this year. They're all going to mean something. And a win would be phenomenal. When you look at the stats, and I know John McGlynn definitely does, but when he said it himself after Aberdeen, 4 points we've taken, okay? We probably hoped to have taken more from the from Livingston game, but actually four points from the first three games, he seemed quite happy with. And if you could get 3 points on Saturday ahead of this next break that we have, And we do have a big double header coming at the end of the month. That Hibs at home and Hearts away is a big 4 days. But to set ourselves up really, really well for those two games, 3 points would be lovely.
100%. Listen, before we go, thanks very much to our other sponsor, the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, T8s, celebrating mental health, just getting guys together, getting fit, and they've been doing it for over a decade now. They've trained down at the stadium Wednesday nights, 8:30 to 9:30. Different setups. They've got the Elite, the Academy and the Legends, and they've got the over 50 section as well. So get involved. All the contact details are below. Speak to Ian, Doogie or Willie. Get in touch with them. Get sorted, get down there. We appreciate the support on the podcast. And who knows, you might be getting involved in the inaugural Kelpies tournament, which is happening hopefully at the end of the season. And of course, you get the chance, usually we play them on a bounce game at the end of the season. You get a chance to beat a Falkirk Daft select. Or I say beat, they've not beat us yet. So 2 seasons gone. So get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. If you're looking for a bit of, you know, new friends, maybe you're fed up of your old friends, go and get the Falkirk Football and Fans and Train, get some new ones. Or, you know, just you're looking for that mental health space. The boys are so supportive. They're all never out of hospitality and they're a great bunch of boys. So get down. It's Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. And that is it for Falkirk Daft. Hopefully we're back here talking about a Bairns win against St Mirren. Ross is going to be stuck at a wedding. If you come on to the 1876 Lounge, I will see you there. A couple of, I think Richard Cadet, you said, might be in on Saturday.
He is a guest of the club at the game on Saturday.
Richie Cadet, stick one in the back of the net. Come on. Indeed.
I don't know if he's officially a guest in our lounge, but he is definitely coming to the game. And but there are some confirmed names in the 1876 Lounge. Albert Craig. Jamie McGowan.
It's a good one. But, look out, everyone's going to be trying to get their selfie with Richie. Yeah. Everyone's going to be spot Richie. Everyone's going to be trying to get their selfie with Richie. Top lad. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Falkirk Daft for all our updates. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can get some snazzy Falkirk Daft gear there, or check out our collection, pintsandprints.co.uk. And notes, if you want the Discord channel, get in below. If you're one of the young team, you like all that sort of stuff, Discord is your thing, the links are below. I just leave them be, Ross. I've kind of set it up and I just leave them be, and they kind of rant and rave at each other, and it's really interesting just kind of observing it all. And sometimes I have to step in and be that and say, right, well, listen, enough of that, don't do that. But
I've not been on in a while. Is it still loads of young team?
It's all young team fighting amongst themselves and winding each other up and doing young team chat mostly. But yeah, jump on the Discord chat. It's like just like a big forum for Falkirk supporters, so it's a good laugh in there. Right, we'll see you on the next one. Ross, enjoy your wedding. And until next time.
Expect and expect about it. One belt.
About the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding up and being a Falkirk Bairn, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.